Valeria Messalina. Now, you talk about notorious women in history, and particularly in Roman history. This is one of them. This is the famous Messalina of Claudius as emperor. And there's a lot, there's a lot of information about her, which of course comes from Tacitus and Suetonius and Dio. And a lot of modern historians claim that, they really didn't like her, so they're going to portray her to be worse than she really was. And, a lot of people talk about, too, the fact that Suetonius has a lot of what we refer to as gossip. But, there's a lot of truth in the average story being told by the Romans, so to speak. So, to say that, well, she really wasn't probably as big a whore and prostitute as they made her out to be. She's still pretty nasty for an emperor's wife. They have the old story is that holier than Caesar's wife, and most of those wives of the Caesars were far from being holy in the slightest. Now, Claudius is kind of interesting because Valeria Messalina is really his third wife. His first wife was Plautia Eugenila, and they had two kids. The boy died in this bizarre accident. He tossed a pear into his mouth, and it lodged in there and choked him to death. And his daughter, Claudius's daughter by her, he drowned her, claiming that it was not his child in the first place. So then he dumps wife number one. His second wife is Aelia Fetina, and she produced a single daughter, and then eventually he divorces her. Now, he ends up with Valeria Messalina really as a result of Caligula. Valeria had been part of the court around Caligula, which doesn't bode well for, the kind of activity that's going to go on in the court. Now, she was only 12 years old when Claudius first met her. Strikingly beautiful woman. Caligula considered her one of the most beautiful women in Rome. And he thought it would really be funny to have this young, beautiful girl marrying good old Claudius, good old Uncle Claudius, who supposedly he stammered and twitched and did other things, at least until he was emperor. And, of course, he didn't realize that in a very short amount of time, less than 2 years, Claudius would be emperor and Caligula would be assassinated. So anyway, when they married, Messalina was 14 and Claudius was 48. And within relatively short order, they had two children, a daughter, Octavia, born just before he became emperor, and a son, Britannicus, who was born a year later. And it's a shame we don't have more on Claudius, because Tacitus's work begins in year 7 of the reign of Claudius. Year 1 through 6 are lost. So we have to rely a little bit more on Dio and Suetonius. But, she certainly is his wife is, as a result of her activity, shall we say, at Caligula's court, and just continues that now that she's the emperor's wife, she has more power and could do pretty much anything she wants to. And, of course, there's plenty of examples of previous women being very open and having lovers all the time. And so there's lots of juicy details that go around. The most famous is the so-called sex contest. This is supposedly where Messalina challenged Scylla, who was a famous Roman prostitute, to an all-night sex competition. And the story goes that each one of them took 25 lovers. Scylla quit at dawn, but Messalina continued on till mid-morning, claiming she was exhausted but not satisfied, which is the kind of comment that you could expect from a historian kind of looking down her nose. But still, she did all kinds of odd things. Then there's the dancer incident. I love this. Messalina had this nervous lover. Actually, he was a dancer. His name is Minister. And she was having an affair with him, but he was kind of reluctant. I mean, he was smart enough to realize that, hey, this is the emperor's wife. and I'm having sex with the emperor's wife, if I get caught, nasty things can happen to me. But on the other hand, if the empress gets mad, nasty things can happen to you. So what Messalina did was she went to Claudius and said that, you know, that she wanted Minister to perform for her, and she wouldn't, and he wouldn't do it. And so Claudius signed this decree that said that whatever Messalina wanted him to do, he was to do it. Of course, his idea of what performance was going on was significantly different from the performance that Messalina wanted to have. But anyway, he felt better about it and began to, he actually stayed in her home. The only downside of that is Messalina made Minister give up his public performances, and that cost her a little press because the local people were very unhappy having one of the best dancers suddenly now taken from the stage. However, she had successfully kept him out of the clutches of one of her competitors, Poppaea Sabina, who had been trying to lure this guy away from her. The other thing, too, she was going to have a bunch of statues made in his honor, and what she was going to use was the copper from the Caligula coins. Claudius ordered the recall of all the copper coins that had Caligula's face on them. He was going to melt them down and reprint new ones with his face on them. And she was trying to figure out a way to get that copper to make statues out of the for the dancer. Well, now then, two things then come into play. One is it's time that she gets revenge. So she's going to try to figure out a way to get rid of Poppaea Sabina. The other thing is she really would love to have this magnificent set of gardens called the Gardens of Lucullus. And she would love to have those, but they're owned by Asiaticus, a relatively rich man with a lot of connections. I mean, he'd been consul twice. So she had to figure out a way to discredit him so she could get the garden. So she sets about sending various friends and other associates of her to Claudius, talking about how bad the two of them are. As a matter of fact, they went so far as to say that Asiaticus was plotting to kill Claudius, because he had actually been one of the assassins that killed Caligula. Now, that's really not true, because Claudius had captured all of them and killed them. But it was a charge that was trumped up, and they were saying, you know, you can't just let people plot to kill Caesars. It's not a good deal. So he had Claudius had Asiaticus arrested and brought back to Rome for trial. But instead of getting a senatorial trial, they basically tried him in one of the bedrooms in the palace. Messalina was there, Claudius was there, the whole variety of people were there, and he brought in various, you know, people to, you know, help defend him. The charges are kind of interesting. Well, they accused him of bribery. They accused him of corruption. You know, those are charges you could get just about anybody in Rome on. They accused him of having adultery, committing adultery with Poppaea, since the two of them were married to other people. And then there's I find this humorous. They accused him of effeminacy. In other words, that he was not a man fully man, that he was a homosexual to some extent. Now, he really got upset over that charge. As a matter of fact, he makes a comment to one of the men there at the trial, and he says, look, if you doubt my manliness, why don't you ask your two sons about my manliness, which is an indication that you know, he was not the lesser individual in the act. But as well as he defended himself, it didn't do him any good. He is condemned by the emperor, but they allow him to commit suicide, so he goes back to his home and slits his wrists, which is a pretty typical way. And then Messalina then sent someone to Poppaea Sabina to inform her that this is probably something that she should do as well, and she also committed suicide. Then there's some miscellaneous stuff that we get into here. The story goes that periodically she would get bored with her little activities that she had at the palace and other places, that she would dress up as a common prostitute wearing a black wig. Most of the people were black-haired, but she supposedly had this long black-haired wig that she would wear and went by the name of Lysiska. And then she would go to various places and have some entertainment. She also had a very special privilege afforded to her by her husband, and that is she rode around Rome in a carriage drawn by horses. Now, this is something that only the emperor and the high priestesses of the Vestal Virgins were allowed. Everybody else either had to walk or they had to be carried in a litter of some sort. Well, the next thing is she decides she needs a new man, her little actor fellow she's gotten bored with. So she goes after this guy named Gaius Silius. He is the up-and-coming new guy. He's really handsome, good-looking. He's a young guy, about 32 years old. He's the consul designate, which means that in 48 A.D., he will become the new consul. So very, very good position here. And Messalina had been using him for a year. As a matter of fact, forced him to divorce his wife so that they could be together. And they end up hatching this plot. And the plot is this, that Silius would marry Messalina. They would then overthrow Claudius, and he would become emperor. Then he would adopt the two children of Claudius by her, and everybody would live happily ever after. And she went along with it. So she and Silius are married. Then they have the actor and they have their little entourage of people. Meanwhile, Claudius, who's oblivious to what's going on, is down at Ostia where he's kind of watching some of the construction that's going on in the harbor and visiting some friends he has down there. And he doesn't know what's going on. Well, now the court is a little concerned. They know what's going on, and particularly the palace slaves, because Claudius trusted them more than anybody else. You know, cooked food and tasted it and did all this kind of stuff. And they realized that if Claudius is overthrown, the odds that they were going to survive were pretty minimal. So the palace slaves decided that they would take action and inform Claudius, and that goes to the main slave, the most trusted of them, which is Narcissus. And he then goes down to Ostia, tells Claudius what's going on. He can't believe it, but he gets in the carriage and comes back, bringing some troops with him. Meanwhile, the little plot quickly falls apart when they find out Claudius is coming back. Everybody runs off and hides, and Messalina then tries to figure out a way to keep Claudius from killing everybody. So she's going to try and plead her case. She's going to try and cry. She's going to try to have the two children come and beg for her. She even convinces the head of the Vestal Virgins to come and talk on her behalf. But Narcissus is very good at separating everybody. He kept the two kids from appearing before Claudius. He couldn't do anything about the Vestal Virgin leader. She has way too much power, but Claudius pretty much dismissed her. And Messalina never got an opportunity to cry in front of him. And then they began to tell him all the specific details, the wedding, the sordid affairs, etc., and so on. And they got exactly what they wanted. Claudius goes into a rage of anger and orders everybody killed, including just about every lover that she had ever had, including a couple of people that had only been with her once. That was it. They were killed. The dancer had an interesting defense. He said that it wasn't his fault. Claudius had basically ordered him to do whatever he wanted to. And Claudius was about ready to maybe let him off the hook. And then some of the other people said, look, we can't really let an actor get off the hook when we're killing all these famous Roman family people. So they killed him anyway. And then he sent guards to allow Messalina to kill herself, but she didn't have enough guts. She had a dagger. She couldn't stick it in her throat. She couldn't cut her wrists. Her mother made fun of her, taunted her, actually. And finally, one of the Roman guards killed her. The I Claudius series, one of them holds her by the hair and the other one slices her head off. In the accounts by Tacitus, she's simply run through with a sword. And of course, then they come in and tell Claudius that his wife has been killed, and he's eating dinner, and his comment is, "Well, I'd like a little more wine, please." And they go on. Now, the amazing thing about this is Messalina is 23 years old when she's killed. And she's probably considered the most wanton slut of all the Roman emperor's wives at this particular point. But a rather notorious lady, to say the least. Now, as far as sources for this, Annals by Tacitus, The Lives of the 12 Caesars by Suetonius, The 12 Caesars by Grant, and The Caesar's Wives Above Suspicion by Perowin, which is a really good, juicy look at most of the early emperors' wives and paramours. So I hope you enjoyed that. Don't forget to come by the website, summahistorica.com or historyaccordingtobob.com, and ask a question, leave a comment, and thank you very much.